Amen. Have you been enjoying the weather this weekend? Is that amazing? I mean, it's so cool and like fall already, and we're only in July, and Christmas is right around the corner. I mean, things are just a... Hey, a couple thoughts before we get into the Word today. Number one, I'm so proud of our youth group. We had Youth Sunday a few weeks ago where they're getting ready to go to camp the first week in August. If you have a teenager between 12 and 18, 19 years old, or if you're a teenager, or if you know one, or if you just don't like one, get them involved anyway. But they're going to be going to camp. There's like 76, 77 teenagers going to this camp. It's our first year to host our very own camp, which is pretty cool and exciting. It's going to be at Lake Williamson. They can get information at the portico after the service, so make sure you check that out. Very excited about that. Also, next Sunday night, something we do every year, we've rented out the whole water park at Aquaport. If you've never been there, it's a huge water park. We do that for a couple reasons. We call them family and friends events. It's a great time for, because we believe in the family, for you to take your family and hang out together, also to develop, hang out with friends or make new friends that you can take, and it'd be a great time. You know, because some people think church is just about coming to church. No, it's about being the church. And a key element is relationships and getting to know each other so you can pray for each other and be there for each other. And so take advantage of those opportunities when they do come. Typically, they tell me it's like $15 to go if you're not a resident of that area to walk in and get a ticket. And many of us aren't. So the tickets are $5 each. So they're really cheap to make it where everybody can go that wants to go. So those will be available outside the portico. And we encourage you to actually use it as a soul winning tool, which I've done for years. It works so well. Which means basically tell somebody, I got you a ticket, we're going to the water park, love for you to go. Don't tell them it's a church event. Don't tell them. When we get there, we're not going to preach to them. We're not going to invite them to church. We're just going to have fun. And they're going to notice that you know some people. And they're going to be like, wow, how'd you know all these people? And just say, oh, that's just some people from my church, and leave it at that. Because most people that don't go to church, if they know you go to church, they think you're going to hound them to go to church. And I think that has hurt the gospel. Yeah, I mean, it's good to say, hey, oh, this church people, oh, really? That's kind of cool you guys do that. Oh, yeah. Leave it at that. Don't invite them. It'll bug them. Give it a couple days. They'll be like, well, dude, are you going to invite me to church? Oh, no, that's okay. Just let it be out there for a while. Eventually, they'll be like, hey, why don't I come to church with you? No, it's not a good day for me. I'm going, but no. Drag them along a little bit. By the time they come, I mean, they are going to be looking forward to it. It's amazing. It is a interesting, fun, but it's a powerful technique to reach people. All right, you ready for the Word?
Yes.
Put your hands together. Let's get this thing going. Good morning. You know, we've been doing this series on the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Greek says Paraclete, the Helper. We need help from the Helper in every facet, literally, our walk with God. And when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how people can take it to extremes. They can start talking about him, and they can take it to where it's almost spooky. And listen, presence of God is not spooky or weird. Did you hear me? Some of God's people are spooky and weird. But Jesus is not spooky. His presence, the Holy Spirit, is not spooky or weird. And then you have some that take it to the other extreme, and it's like they don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit at all. And there's so much in Scripture and the importance, and really the impact that the Holy Spirit is supposed to have on our lives is a key element on the impact that you're supposed to have in your life. When you take the Holy Spirit out of the equation, it changes the whole dynamic, and it's important. And so we encourage you, if you haven't been with us, get the messages. They're on iTunes and on the website for free. Download them. I believe it's a good study for any believer. But we've talked last week about this concept. When you're in a season when you feel that you have been held back and under attack, and just push back. And you're like, why am I stuck in this? Why am I stuck or being held back or under attack? And that's going to be a natural season for any of us in some part of our journey. I'm just being realistic with you. If you think that the moment you become fully committed to the Lord and you're going to serve God with all your heart and live your life for the Lord, if the devil's going to stop and applaud you and say, you know what? This guy is serious this time. You know, before he was just playing. This time, here's a little a tweet we're going to put out to all the demonic Twitter accounts. Leave them alone. You know what I mean? Don't mess with this person. They're serious. That's not what happens. The devil doesn't applaud you. In fact, that's why Jesus said in John 10:10, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And the reality is, on your journey to destiny, to do all that God wants you to do in the rhythm of life, to achieve what God's called you to do in life, there will be times that the devil will try to get you to be stuck, held back, or under attack. And how you handle that season will determine how long you stay in that season. If you don't handle it correctly, you can find yourself, and some of us have before, find yourself in that season for a long time to where you almost start believing that this is the only season God has for you. And it's not the truth. If we handle it correctly, we can break through this and go to the next chapter, next season. See, I'm a firm believer that in Jesus, the best is always yet to come. No, you might be on the top of the mountain of life. Praise God, we celebrate it. But that's not the greatest season. There's still a greater. In Jesus, the best is always yet to come. It's the principle of the kingdom of increasing and improving, going up to the next level. The kingdom of God is not a roller coaster, though some of our lives are like roller coasters. The kingdom of God is not such. We see that in the parable when Jesus was talking to the servants, and the one said, "Lord, I know you're a tough master, so I took the one talent you gave me, and I hid it." And woo, there was people that wanted this talent, but I kept it. I saved it. Aren't you glad? Here you go. And the master, according to the parable that Jesus taught, didn't say, "Well done," because there's so many people out there trying to take it. Thank you for hanging on to it. No, he reprimanded him. He corrected him, saying, why isn't there increase? See, the desire of your Father is for you to keep growing. Did you hear me? And how we talked last week, how we handle those seasons will determine how long we're in that season and how we can allow God, the presence of God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The greater one is inside you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And how do we release the greater on the inside of us to have a head-on collision with the enemy that's on the outside of us? How do we bring the peace on the inside to dominate the storm on the outside? And we talked last week about how to break that thing open so God can be God. Praise God, we could talk about it in a church service. Praise God, we could celebrate it from the scriptures, but it's a whole nother level of living when you can experience it for yourself and you walk through that and say, wait a minute, God did something that I know was impossible. Praise God, you can get a raise when everybody in the company is getting raised because they had a banner year. But God can give you a raise and a promotion when it's in a dry season and everybody's worried about losing their job. Come on. God can cause your business to flourish when everybody else is trying to figure out how to cut back. God can heal when the doctor says, I don't know what to do. So don't allow the outside to dictate. It's allowing the greater on the inside. And so last week we talked about how to break through into our new season, our next season, our promised land season that you're praying for and believing for. But today I want to carry that on because the concept again is God doesn't want you just to stay there. He wants you to keep growing. In fact, for some, one of the challenges that we find, and we'll see this in the parable, is that we can have an answer to our miracle, which is based on the promise. The promised land is whatever the promises of God are for you. It might be a financial promise you're praying and believing for. It might be a physical healing promise you're praying and believing for. It might be a relationship, whatever it might be. There's a tendency, if we're not careful, of when God answers that prayer, we step that first day into that new season. Have you ever wondered what it was like for Israel the first day they walked on the promised land? But if we don't handle that new season correctly, the first day can be the last day. And that's that up and down that a lot of Christians deal with. God, I just need you to bless me. And all of a sudden, God begins to open doors. And now the blessing which God brought, they didn't handle the blessing right. And the blessing became a curse, and they slid right back down. Lord, I'm just praying for, I need a husband, Jesus. Help me. Bring that man of God in my life. Bring that woman of God. All of a sudden, that relationship happens and you get married and things are going great and all of a sudden the first day becomes the last day. What happened? Because God doesn't want you just to reach it for a moment. It's not a matter of just, you just got married and now it's over. There's still a lot ahead of you. It's not a matter of you just got, you know, you're struggling financially, couldn't pay your bills, but you started taking the promises of God and begin to believe God to do the impossible, and God brought you up, built you up. Well, you walk this process out through faith and patience. You inherit the promises of God, and all of a sudden you found that what you were believing for and praying for was actually happening, and all of a sudden your bills are being paid. You're getting a raise. You got ideas and promotions and opportunities coming to you. Money's coming to your hands. You're like, wow, this is like a lot better than then. And you get excited about it. And all of a sudden, if you don't handle what God's giving you correctly, you'll find it slipping back out of. That's why God told Israel, when I'm blessing you, you have to remember it's I that's giving you power to get wealth. I have seen people go through the process of blessing, and they get to the place, and you're like, you know what? You were so involved in church. You were there serving, ministering. You were there all the time. Haven't seen you in a few months. Oh, well, you know what? We had to get a vacation place, or I had to get a boat. You got to go on the summertime, Pastor. You got to be at the take care of that boat. Listen to me. Are boats wrong? No. Are our vacation places wrong? No. But if the boat takes the place of Jesus, then the blessing became a curse. Is finding that soulmate and that right person for you, is that wrong? No! God celebrates in that. He brought you together. But if all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, Sunday's kind of like family time and we don't have time to go to church because we really want to build our marriage. You're building your marriage outside of Jesus? I'm trying. And so when we break through into the new season, if we're not careful, there's a tendency of saying, okay, God, thank you for that miracle. I'll see you next time I have another problem. And then we become crisis Christians, that we only come to Jesus when we have a problem. And we can't figure out why we keep going around that mountain. We have our highs, and then we have our lows. And then all of a sudden, all those highs that God intended you to stay in and to keep growing in, become just a past memory. Oh, wasn't I remember those days. Woo, Jesus was so good in those days. He wants you to have more than just a memory of the good old days. Come on, somebody. And we see, let me give you a verse of this. One of the parables that I love is out of Matthew 13 and Luke's Gospel 8. And Jesus, we've all heard this parable about the sower sowing the word, right? And there's so much information in this that you couldn't even teach in a series. So we come back to it from time to time. But think conceptually. Here's the whole scheme of the walk of life. And the concept basically begins that Jesus talking that the sower is sowing the word of God. So here, the sower sowing seed. First ground, and I'm going to move quickly till I get to the place where we want to hang out for a little bit. The first ground is the hard ground. That means seed hits it, supposed to go to it, but doesn't get in it. As a result, the birds of the air come down, sweep it up, eat it, and it's gone. And the word, the seed, was never allowed to do what it was designed to do. And that represents those of us who hear the word. There's times and seasons of our lives, we all deal with this, and we hear the word God is sending to our hearts, but we don't allow ourselves to understand it, to receive it. And so it's easy to get distracted mentally. Your focus can go in all different directions. Even as I'm talking, you can be thinking about what I'm going to do for lunch. What I got to do? I got to pay this bill. Who's that person sitting next to me? What did that person just say? And the devil will fight for your attention. Why? Because if he can get your attention, you won't understand what's being said. And if you don't understand what's being said, he's taking it out of your life. You have to listen with purpose. An effort to hear what's being said. It's not just by, okay, hit me, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, you were daydreaming, you're sitting there doodling. You're singing a song of the way you're. It's harder to focus, but when you focus, you can receive it. And the second heart was the people who received it, but they didn't have much depth. They didn't have much root system. And so in Luke's gospel, it says they didn't have much moisture. Why? Because they were the Christians. Again, we all go through these phases where they were excited about Jesus as long as it was exciting around them. You know what I mean? As long as people are praying for me and encourage me and things are going my way, I'm serving you, Jesus. But the moment things go the other direction, I'm going to dry up. I'm going to disappear. Why? Because they didn't learn to develop a root system that finds moisture and water. They were dependent on just if it rained, I'm happy. If people water me, I'm happy. If people encourage me, I'm happy. But if they don't, I'm dead. And when the word gets in your life, you receive everything by faith and patience. And faith means you can't be moved by what you feel, hear, or see. And the devil will challenge the word that you are saying that you're believing just to see when it doesn't look like it's going to work, or just when it seems like you don't feel like it's going to work. Are you willing to stand your ground and say, this is what God said, and be like Abraham, who was fully persuaded, even when it was hopeless and impossible? He did not consider his own limitation, but he knew that the God who made the promise was well able to perform it. And that means you have to look below the surface and dig deep and experience God. When you can't experience goodness around you, find goodness below you. Hit and access the presence of God in your own life. Dig deep. Because challenges will come. You'll go, you cannot. It'd be great if the moment you prayed and you're believing to receive by faith, that the moment you did it, the next day you had it. And if we're going to change the system, let's just make the next 10 seconds later. Wouldn't that be cool? Obey God 10 seconds later, you reaped it. I mean, you'd want to have 50 offerings in one service, wouldn't you? Because you drop money in the bucket, bing, you pull out your wallet, and there's all that extra money. This is cool. Can we do that one more time? But we've all been there. You're saying, God, you're telling me to give, and so I'm going to give today. I'm going to trust you. And you just knew that if you gave today, when you drove home, in the mailbox would be an envelope of cash. And an envelope of cash didn't show up the very first day, because it doesn't have its faith and patience. And in that season of patience, standing strong when you don't feel strong, when it doesn't look right, is developing you not to be moved by what you feel, hear, or see. Because James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, because he's moved by every wind of doctrine that's coming past him. But a person that's anchored into the word of God and truth of God, people can say something, say, I'm not going to be moved by that. I'm standing strong. Not by the circumstances. Not by the season, the natural season. Not by the highs and lows. Not about the good and fuzzies and the bad and the angry. Not about anything around me. I'm obeying God. And the next ground, and we'll move, and we want to hang out here for a little bit. The next ground was those who received the word. They got the understanding, and they developed their root system so they could access God even when they didn't sense God around. Because if you think you're going to feel, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if you believe you're going to feel a warm and fuzzy of God's presence and a goosebump every minute of the challenges of your life, you're mistaken, because those times you're in a storm, that's the hardest time to feel emotionally the presence of God. But you've got to still know. And that third ground is they had received the revelation. They had received, they learned to develop that root system, but they had a different challenge. A whole nother level of playing field. It's like playing high school basketball, playing college basketball, and playing NBA. It looks the same. Pretty much the same basic things. Basketball, hoop, shoot, score, defense, offense. But each level is a different game. You sit there and say, what's the difference? Don't worry about it. But those who are in the NBA know it's a whole different ball game. That's why you might be great and excelled in college, but when you go to the pros, you're still a rookie at that. Why? Because you're learning. It's a whole nother level. And the whole next level in this journey of developing and receiving all that God has for us, because we receive everything from God through faith and patience, is all of a sudden our faith is growing because of the word. We develop this root system, and we're growing, and we're beginning to produce some fruit, which means we're beginning to see the change of what God intended from his word in our life. So that when it looks like a recession on the outside, by the environment of society and on the news, you can still be blessed. When it looks like people are sick, you could write, you better get this, because if God forbid that somebody had a plague in your community, you don't have to be freaking out saying, no, I got a covenant. I am the healed of the Lord. It's one thing to say I'm living by faith when you can figure it all out by your own ability, but when all odds are against you, can you stand strong? Can you stand strong? Can you stand strong? It's one thing when you've got it all figured out. Oh, God's going to bless me and I'm going to work. What happens if it didn't work out just the way you planned it? What if things, God forbid, changed? What if? And I don't want to speak this like a negative thing, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but what if the greatest country on the planet, which is our country, took a weird turn for whatever reason? Terrorism, curse that in the name of Jesus. Invading forces, curse that in the name of Jesus. Crash our electrical system, Do you know they have bombs? Not to get into this, they have bombs that have the ability to be dropped and wipes out the copper connections. That would basically, you could say this, they could drop it and wipe out the electrical systems. And it would take years before they can get everything that runs by electric back and up and running. 20 or 30 years before you have lights. And I pray that never happens. But what if things didn't go your way? Have we built our walk with God on fluff, or are we building it on faith? That says it doesn't look like what I'm wanting it, but God has a way of providing me and for my family. God has a way of protecting me. God has a way of bringing me through this victoriously, because I have learned to operate just not by the natural, but by the supernatural. You can sit there and smile and say, yeah, that'll all go my way. You don't have to worry about that. I got it covered. But those will be the first one crying, Pastor, what do I do now? So we're trying to train you that against any situation, you can rise up. Do you know in the military, I don't know, I didn't say this in the first, I feel led. Do you know in the military, they don't train for the enemy at hand. They train for the enemy that can be. Because you're in time of peace, why would you have soldier training? But they train for what the enemy could be, so that if the enemy rises up, they're prepared. See, a lot of times we just deal with the enemy when we see him. What if you're getting yourself strong in the Lord and the power of his might, so that if the devil ever thought about messing with you, that you'd have the tools to rise up and say, wait a minute, devil. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth is loose in heaven. Not in my house. So catch this. So here we go. So they begin to see change, which means they begin to see the miracle. And many times we think that the day we step into the promised land, it's over, but it's not. It's just beginning. When you think you've reached it, you'll go on vacation. It's just a human tendency. And when you go on vacation, you'll stop trying. And when you stop trying, you'll start floating back. The first day doesn't have to be your last day. Let's stay for a while. Let's stay for a while. When God brings you a new season, let's stay for a while. In fact, God not only wants you to stay, he wants you to keep growing. He wants you to keep growing. If you have your Bibles, I want to look at this. Because in this gospel, it said here, and they which fell among thorns, Luke 8, and they that fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection, which means they had fruit. The change had begun. God began to bring into their life what they were receiving by faith and patience, but when they begin to experience it, they didn't handle it correctly, and they were never able to bring it to the place that God wanted it to, because they thought the moment they begin to experience a little bit of God's miracle power, that that was the end, and they begin to not handle it correctly. That's, again, why God said to his people, when you get to that place of blessing, remember it is I who's given you the power to get wealth. I mean, this can go in any different facets. You can look at someone who can't even walk and say, I'm believing that I receive my healing. The Lord is my healer. If by his stripes I'm healed, and they walk it out and begin to see God bring healing power to do what the doctors could not do. And all of a sudden they wake up one day and they step into the first day of their new season, and all their feet are feeling good. Their body's feeling good. Their energetic things are going great. And they think, I'm going to start running a marathon, maybe a mini marathon. And they begin to train, and they go from can't barely walk to all of a sudden running marathons. And you're like, hey, I haven't seen you at church. Oh, that's when all the marathons are, Pastor. You know, I'm healed. I'm feeling good. And I got to run on Sundays. Is there wrong with marathons? Absolutely not. But if the marathon takes the place of Jesus, you got a problem. God wants you to take that fruit that he's beginning, that change that he's beginning to produce in your life, and take it to the next level. It's just not a matter of keeping it. Say, Lord, look what I got. He said, no, no. What have you done to multiply? Let's bring it up. Let's increase it. Let's see that 30, 60, 100-fold return. Let's bring it to a level. Let's see that blessing God is giving you. You're like, oh, man, I'm making some good money now. Well, praise God. Let's see it go to the next level. Let's see that healing that God's brought in your body. Let's see it produced to the next level. Let's see that relationship God's blessed you with. Let's see it grow to the next level. What is that next level? It could be different, but I'm telling you, with Jesus, the best is always yet to come. Don't hold it lightly. Don't take it for granted. And don't walk away and say, thank you, Jesus. Next time I got a problem, I'll come talk to you, and I'm out. How do we do this? How do we, when we step into our new seasons, handle it correctly so that we can not only stay, but but keep growing in what God has for you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And how does that connect to this whole concept of the Holy Spirit? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "These are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God directs me to teach you, to observe the to observe in the land, in the new season." They're going to the promised land. So he's saying, Moses is saying, this is what God's telling me for you to do. When you go into that new season, when you step into that promise, when you begin to experience the miracle, when you get that raise, when things are going your way, what do? "And crossing the Jordan to possess it." Excuse me for a second. "So that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life." That means God doesn't want you to leave there. He wants you to stay there and to be passed on. "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey." So that you that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the promised land. So reaching the new season is not the end, it's the beginning. God wants you to greatly increase in that new season. How do I do that? And he goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, "the Lord our God is," notice, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, some of my Bible friends believe that, you know, I mean, you get into the Holy Spirit, and some talk about Trinity, some talk about oneness. And I had a question this past week. Pastor, I was explaining this to a friend. I didn't know how to break it down. So this Wednesday, we're going to spend some time talking about the whole concept of the Trinity or oneness. Some will use that as a verse, and I'll show you different in a second. Verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your strength." Notice here, this is what Jesus quotes later on in the Gospels. And we tend to emphasize, and this is, which is good emphasis, about love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and one translation, your mind and your strength, to love God. And we can look at that and say, oh, I'm doing that. I love Jesus. I'm going to love me some Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm loving. Woo, I love you, Jesus. And miss out on what's actually being said here. Because even Jesus quoted the part right before that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." We can say, oh, see, that's all about Jesus, just one. But that's not what he's saying. That word one, if you go into the Hebrew, means supreme. And if you don't make the connection with the two verses, you can miss out on what's being said in the verses. Because some people think loving Jesus is all about a warm and fuzzy toward the Lord. And, I'm worshiping, Lord, I've got a tear right here. It's coming. Hang on, give me a... There is, oh, Jesus, I love you. And praise God, you can worship and feel him and be moved. That's awesome. But I've seen people cry at the altars and not really be loving Jesus. They just wanted him to change his mind. The Lord that God is one. The Lord that God is supreme. Love the Lord. See, there's a few things God can't do. We say God can do anything, he can't. There's a few things God can't do. One, he can't fail. Two, he can't lie. And three, he cannot be second. When you love him emotionally without him being supreme, see, we want Jesus to be our Savior, but not many want him to be Lord. And he is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Well, I gave him Sunday morning. What does he want? Let me tell you what he wants. He wants everything. Well, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Then just mark it down. You're not saved. I love you. He loves you. And it's not easy to say, and it makes some people mad. But here, the reality, if he's not Lord, you're not going to heaven. Well, I don't know. You know, I gave him Sunday and even Wednesday, and then but I got to hit my stuff too. No. You don't understand. A lot of people want him to take away the guilt from sin. Jesus, wash me, make me your sin. Just be my Savior. But they don't want him to be Lord. Folks, that's tough. But the reality is,
He's either Lord of all or not at all. And what you have to understand is he was saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord, the God is supreme. Love him. What's that got to do with the Holy Spirit? Do you remember the time where they came to John the Baptist in the height of his ministry and said, John, are you the Messiah? Because of the works he was doing and the crowds that were coming. And he said, no, I'm not he, but there is one. Oh, I love that. There is one. You look at that one. Might not be them, but there is one who comes after me, that I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces. I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me, Jesus, the Messiah, right, the Christ, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and praise God for the prayer language, praise God. But we can overlook this next part of, Did you see that? Was that me? What are they doing back there? Overlook this next part and go ding, ding, ding. Is that Jesus saying, yes, that's right. They can overlook that as the lights flicker into my eyes. We can get so caught up and we can get the one part and miss the second part because he said he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, we tend to interpret that based on our culture. And we'll talk about fire, oh, as someone who's excited about Jesus. Ooh, look at those people just got saved. They are so on fire for the Lord. That's just so nice to see. That's what it's talking about. We can take it in the context of someone being emotional. Oh, they're all fired up about this. I remember playing the NBA Jam way back in the day. You know, come on, somebody. Yeah, you make a few shots and you hear the guy say, he's on fire. Smoke could be coming out of your hand, right? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. You can say, man, that everything he's doing is successful. That's the one it's talking about. It's not talking about energy. It's not talking about excitement. It's not talking about enthusiasm. It's not talking about success. You know what it's talking about? In the culture and what the context of that culture, when they understood fire, they understood it was connected to sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, and these people, until Acts, which is the beginning, really, of the New Covenant, but in the Old Covenant, when they would offer a sacrifice to God, it wasn't I gotta offer something. God said, you got sheep, I want you to offer the very best, not just the worst. Don't bring to me the ugliest, the messed up, the maimed, the jacked up, the thing that you don't want has been a burden and a problem to you. And that's just like, I take that sheep. Oh, that sheep got that bad leg. And, I'm tired of having to chase that sheep. He can't keep up, so I'm going to offer that to Jesus. That's good enough. See, we offer to God many times in our lives that which we think is good enough. But God said in the Old Testament, I want the best. You pick out, of all things, you pick out the spotless one. You pick out the best. And it was symbolic of the Father sending the Son, Jesus, to be the Lamb of God. Spotless without sin. Perfect without blemish. And dying for you and I. And he said, you pick out the best. You offer that. And so they would go through and they would have to literally study. It wasn't like just grab one and bring it over. No, they had to study. They had to figure out which one was the best. And they said, that's the best. And when you have something, a bunch of something, and you know which one's the best, that's the one you kind of value the most. God said, I want you to take what's the most valuable to you. I want you to take it and I want you to kill it. That makes no sense. Yeah, you got to understand. I want to see if I'm still more important to you than that. Do you trust me? Do you value me more than you do this? Do you value me more than you do all that other stuff? And they would kill that sacrifice, and they would lay it on the altar, and it didn't stop there. What we miss out is in the Old Testament, when God would see a sacrifice, have you ever wondered how Cain knew that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable and his wasn't? Because when God would accept a sacrifice on the altar, fire would come down from heaven and consume it. Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. That's why Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, let's both offer a sacrifice. You go first, and the God who answers with fire. He knew what he was doing. Let the God who answers with fire be the true God. And we know that their prayers didn't do anything. And he said, listen, take my sacrifice, put it up there, soak it with water, and let's see. And God came down and consumed by fire. Evaporated the water and consumed the sacrifice. See, that's what fire meant. It wasn't a high emotional moment. It wasn't being enthusiastic. And there's nothing wrong with enthusiasm. It was the reality of sacrificing the best and letting God consume it. what does that have to do with us? Because I'm not saying go kill your pet. I don't want no bad emails. Pastor, I killed him. What do I do with him now? He's like, no, don't do that. Leave Rover alone. I mean, he'll be fine. See, I'm not telling you that God wants you to die. I'm telling you, God doesn't want you to live for yourself. See, what's happening? We're to live our lives as a sacrifice, which means we lay our lives down and say, God, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith. See, we talk about being consumed, baptized with fire, which means for you to be consumed or baptized with fire, you have to be willing to die to your own will. Because there's times in our life, this is not, you have to pray all the time, and you have to read the Bible all the time, and all you can talk about is the Bible. Don't talk about the daily news. Oh, we got Bible. And you misunderstand. Don't misunderstand. You can't read the Bible 24/7 and have a job. And not do it honestly. The reality is, it's not that God's saying, I want you to be on your knees praying 24/7, but he wants you to be living in a manner that if he begins to speak to your heart through his word and his Holy Spirit, and it's in conflict with what you want to do. Not if somebody tells you, because God can use people to speak to you, but it'll always be in alignment with the word and a confirmation of something he's already been dealing with you about. But there'll be times in your life that God said, I want you to do this, and it's not going to be easy. And there's a tendency in the church, modern church world, for us to preach a gospel of Jesus just blessing you, healing you, and making life better. And hear me, he wants to heal you and bless you and make your life better. But if we're not careful, we will teach a comfort Christianity, which means I'll serve him as long as he's pouring out the good stuff. As long as I'm feeling it. I'm not feeling Jesus. I'll just talk to you next week. Maybe you had a rough week, but maybe next week, okay? No, Christianity is not about you serving him as long as he's doing what you want him to do. Christianity is you laying your life down so that he can only be your Savior and your Lord. It doesn't mean it's always easy. When they talk about you and God says, forgive them, it doesn't make it easy. We have to realize that we're not only children of God, but we are in the army of the living God. And he's not only our Savior and Lord, he is the captain of the host of the armies of God. And when the captain says go, you don't debate if you want to or if it's convenient. It's not a matter of emotion. It's a matter of yes, sir. I stand at attention at the command of my God. And if you tell me to stand at my post, even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel like it, even when other people are running, if you tell me to stand, I will stand and not move until the God of Almighty tells me to move. You tell me to charge, I don't have to understand it. All I'm looking for is a yes, sir. We have taken the greatest country on the earth and the system of democracy, and we have applied that to the kingdom of God. You do not live in a democratic kingdom of God. It's the king who speaks, and you say, yes, sir, be it unto me, Mary said. Be it unto me, even if I don't get it, even if I don't understand it, be it unto me according to your word. I'm not feeling it today. You know, it's not really a good time for me. And so, no. You do what God tells you to do. You stand. If he tells you to charge, you charge. If he tells you to forgive, you forgive. But I'm not feeling it. I didn't ask you to be moved by what you feel here. See, faith is obeying when you know God's telling you to do something, regardless if it's easy, regardless if it's practical, regardless if it's convenient, regardless if you want to or not. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was praying. The Bible says that he was in his prayer, the pressure, they have figured out scientifically now how much pressure a human person has to be under before the capillaries below the surface of their skin breaks through and comes through the pores. We've read all he prayed, and all of a sudden, great drops of blood. He was under extreme tension and pressure to do the will of the Father. And he said, oh, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. We Folks, you got to listen to me. God is greater than the enemy, but that doesn't mean the enemy is not going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And you have to be willing not to, oh, poor, you've got to stir yourself up and say, nuh-uh. How dare us sometimes to begin to cry and complain? Are you listening to me? After what he did, he said, God, not my will, your will be done. Even if blood is pouring in the, because the pressure's great. And there's times that we quit serving God over little imp devil hurts your feelings. You better stir. How dare, from all the people in church history that have died for their faith. There's people today that are being imprisoned and tortured and killed because of their faith. And we stand in the greatest country of this earth with all that God's provided. And we'll cry about something small and say, well, Lord, I just don't know if I can serve you because I didn't have anything to do last night. I was so lonely and bored. And Lord, there was nothing on TV. And I just, Lord, you know, I'm trying to serve you, Jesus, but it's been so hard. You better stir yourself up and say, that's enough. You better tell yourself to shut up. You better rise up and say, wait, I'm in the army of God. And if everybody goes against me, what happened to that old song? If none come with me, I'll still follow. If I'm the only one left, I'll follow. I'll stand my post if they shoot at me. I'll stand my post if they talk about me. If they isolate me and reject me and I have no friends, it's going to be you and me, Jesus. Because I refuse to move away from what you tell me to do. For you to reach the fulfillment of destiny, for you to see all that God wants you to do and be brought to 30, 60, 100 fold, you have to cross the path, because the people who didn't make it were the ones when it started going good, they got distracted with other stuff. You have to rise up and say, it's good, but that's not going to distract me. I'm feeling good. I'm blessed, or things are going well, but I'm still not going to let the victories of life distract me. Because it is you. It's all about you. You're Lord. You tell me to do something, it might not be easy. I'm telling you, sometimes we become water Christians, and we call that being led by the Spirit. And that's like, oh, the Lord's leading me. No, no, no. See, water goes to the place of least resistance, and we think if there's any challenges, it must not be God. And it is kind of difficult, and I'm trying to close, but it might be a little difficult, so that must not be the Holy Ghost. He wants me just to relax and just, oh, no challenges. Well, tell that to the armies that God said, go challenge that giant. You have to realize God's not trying to make your life harder. He's trying to make your life better. And sometimes you get out of alignment. The tensions you feel are not God trying to hurt you. It's him trying to get you back into alignment. You know what I'm talking about. I see in the front row to my left, Dr. Rob Elder, who's a chiropractor. Great doctor. And when I go to Dr. Rob, he does something when he calls. I walked in first day, said, hey, I need my neck popped. Oh, we don't pop stuff. We make an adjustment. I said, but it still pops. And anytime it's popped, what is happening is there are some of you moving your neck saying, yeah, I kind of see that guy after church. He's going to pop my neck. It's an adjustment. See, what happens with an adjustment is your spine can get out of alignment. And there has to be an adjustment to bring you back into alignment so things can flow correctly. And the times that you're like, Lord, I'm not wanting to do this, or this is harder. God, why am I? God's not trying to make your life harder. The enemy's trying to come against you, but he's telling you what to do, and you might not feel it emotionally. Maybe it's not the pressure of God. Maybe it's that you've allowed stuff to come out of alignment. And he's trying to get you back into alignment so that things can flow correctly. Lord, but I don't want it. See, when you have to look and say, God, you're telling me to do this. It might be, God, you're telling me to forgive. God, you're telling me to stop doing that. God, you're telling me to live. But Lord, you know, since I've been so successful, all these people calling me, Lord, and I know I'm not supposed to be going with them and doing the things that we're doing, but Lord, I'm really trying to reach them. Ha, ha, ha. And you think you're fooling God. No, no, God said, leave that alone. You're not ready to deal with that. But Lord, they make me look so important. That's part of the reason you're not ready to deal with that. Stand your post. Do what God tells you to do. And even when it's hard, remember to bring in something into alignment so that you can be all that he's called you to be and bring what he started in you to the fulfillment. it's not always easy. Who said it was supposed to be easy? I look at some of you who've been married for 30, 40, 50 years. Can you imagine changing the vows? I take you to be my husband until it's no longer easy or convenient or when the warm and fuzzy falls and fades. It's not always easy. If you're going to have a great marriage, it's not always easy. If you're going to have a great life, it's not always easy. You're going to have a great career. It's not always easy. If you're going to serve God, it's not always easy. But the good news is that it's God who's in you. Philippians says it gives you the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. That's why He said, God, it's not easy, but I'm going to look to You to get me back in alignment and give me the desire and ability. Even if I don't have the emotion, I lay my life down on the altar of sacrifice of obedience. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Did you hear me? That's being consumed by fire. That's having the Holy Spirit on your life. Is when you're not living for you, you're living for Him. And again, this has been abused in the church world from people who were novices or people who were just mean, who had titles and begin to control people and say, God's telling me to tell you. And if you don't do it, you're disobeying God and bad things are going to happen. That's manipulation. With the wrong motivation, that's witchcraft. Can God use people to speak into your life? Absolutely. But again, it will always be in line with the Word of God and will always be a confirmation, something He's already been dealing with you. God uses people to remind you, that was me. Just in case you wonder, when you were praying the other day and I began to speak to you to do that, you thought, Lord, was that me or was that you or what was that? And God brings somebody past and say, Lord's been speaking to me to tell you that this. And you're like, that's exactly what He told me the night before. Why? He's just reminding you. He's helping you out in your faith that that was Him. It's a confirmation, a reminder that first thing He spoke to you, that was Him. If it's a new revelation, just put it on the back shelf because the person probably just had a pizza dream. You know what that is? They ate too much pizza the night before, woke up, all these crazy dreams. But it is God. Are you with me today?
Yes.
I want that to get into your spirit. That you stand, having done all. It's a fight. Plus, it's a fight, a good fight of faith. Even when you feel you're knocked down, you get back up because victory belongs to you. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.